When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 182. My name's Turner Sparks.
I'm Mordecai Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Cap at Cap in America on Instagram. Also, this show's on Instagram. We're at Lost in America Pod. Kaplan, on the podcast today, we have the fantastic Esther Steinberg joining us.
That's why I introduce myself as Mordecai whenever Esther is on. It's a Purim reference for our Jewish listeners. So
great idea. Esther is a fantastic stand-up comedian. She used to be in New York City. Now she's in LA. But most importantly, she just had a baby during a pandemic, her first child, I believe.
That's the best time to have a baby, they say. I think.
During a pandemic. Now, we know this show. Digging. So she's going to be on in a minute. And this show is the tools to make you the smartest blowhard at the cocktail party, we now say, as is the show. So going on that theme, Kaplan, you're one of the world's greatest blowhards.
I am. I'm not Jeremy Kerrigan level or Andrew Heaton level, but I think I'm in the next tier.
You're pretty good. You're pretty
tier
good.
Tier two.
So no research involved. What do you, first of all, you've had how many, two children, right?
Right. Well, my wife's had them, but yes, I get credit for it.
But it's a real, it's great.
I know about the topic. I get to blowhard on the topic without having a baby in my stomach. So yeah,
you've already failed. I feel like a true blowhard would say, yes, I've had two children.
Oh, you're right. That's why I'm tier two. I'm working on it. This pod's going to get me to tier one.
You got
to
take credit for these type of things, yeah. Kaplan. So what is it like being in can you imagine being in the hospital? And as a blowhard, you have to say yes. Being in the hospital with everyone, you don't know who has corona. You don't know who doesn't. You know, the doctor could have it. What's that like?
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially the first. This is her first show, which is the key, because we've done this twice. And I'm sure I could speak for Tyler Sparks and everybody else you know who's had multiple kids in their family.
My brother. Yeah.
Your brother, yeah. But when the first one, you're a maniac because you're nervous as a man about having a baby and your whole life changing. But really, you've got this wife who's got a foreign object in her stomach and is just
like
crazy. Like, they're just everything. The rules are all changed because, like, obviously women are always right to begin with. But now they're doubly, triply, quadruply always right. And all that stereotype, you got to run out and get pickles in the middle of the night and all that stuff you got to do. But really, it all boils down to the actual birth. This day, you prepare for it for months. You're talking about it. And there's all these you're always nervous. Every time you go to the doctor, the wife is like, you give them a third degree. You're like, do you think that doctor's okay? Can we trust this doctor? You're like, is this
second
hospital?
Opinion?
Yeah. You do research on the hospital that the hospital you're going to is based on the doctor you have. It's a random
Kaplan,
thing.
What you're saying right now, I already do during Corona life. Yeah. I do this for supermarkets. I mean, it's like,
yeah, you read reviews.
Don't go to that Safeway because that's the bad one. They got the skinny aisles. You go to the one across town and that's where they wear more masks. So now you're saying this on top of it's pandemic on top of this.
The whole child exists, the first child, because the second time around, it's like, we've done this already. Why were we so crazy? This is like, who cares?
Yeah, you could give birth in an alley. Big deal.
The first time around, we'll see what Esther thinks of all this. But with us and with a lot of people who are having kids around the same time period, there was all this, you take child class, you take classes, you take CPR, because you got to practice. Like, you're going to remember this with you're going to panic. In real life, you're going to call 911. You're not going to give your kid CPR. It's all, I don't know, maybe you could, but you take birthing classes. You get a doula. We got a doula. That's like,
what's a doula?
End. A doula is like a assistant. Like a, it's not like when you go to,
is that Jewish?
No, it's not Jewish.
It's a Jewish assistant?
No, it's like a person, not assistant. It's like a child birthing expert who's like, for a natural birth, if you want to have a natural birth, you do all, okay. They do all the breathing exercises, and they have got like, they got all sorts of tricks.
Is this person on top of a mountain?
They're like an ally, because you're like, you're in the hospital and the doctors are, everyone's got this, exactly.
I'm an ally.
Everyone's got this this image in their head of like the medical system's against you, you know, like giving birth, especially in America. Like, they just want you in the hospital, out of the hospital as fast as possible. And That's the other thing is that
this is almost, you're talking like an agent.
They're almost like your agent. Yeah. They're like both. They're like a shrink and an agent, because they're there for your mental well-being. So they keep the not just the wife, but also the husband. They're there for both of you, and they're like there to keep you relaxed. They're there to keep you. They're there to do things for you, to run. They're also there to advocate for you. So, like, they know. Like, we had a very crazy birth story with Teddy, where
my client. Do they refer to you as my client?
No, but they give you. They can't, because it's a whole thing where the doctors look down on the doulas. You know it. They don't say it. They're like, who's this crazy person you bring into us? So they're not going to speak up in front of the doctor. But when the doctor leaves, they'll be like, "Look, I've been through this 100 times. This is the question you should ask next." So you're getting like
sidebar agent.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can even bring a doula in nowadays with the coronavirus, but like I don't think you can have a, so it's a real, I'm sure. Hey,
the doula industry, another casualty of coronavirus.
The doula, exactly. So you're going through this whole experience where you're just, all these things are important, but you're all like in a panic about safety, everything's safety. You're just like a crazy, the first time parents. And now with coronavirus, it's like, I can't, it's like, you're actually allowed, like we say this all the time, like, you're okay to be a germphobe. Like, now it's like, you're given.
Do you think Esther wore a mask? They made her wear a mask while she was like giving birth?
That's a great question. Probably not. I don't think. But probably, well, I mean.
She would keep it on. There's no chance.
I mean, my friends put, I did pull some blowharding because I had some friends who had a baby, and they took a picture of their kid in this crazy N95 mask.
The new baby?
The baby, and my wife was going crazy, and I was like, I don't know if that's a real photo. Maybe they're, I found out later, they are doctors. They got a hold of a mask. They were being funny.
They don't doctored make the, baby, the photo.
They doctored the photo. So babies, I know, don't wear masks. So I'm going to go on a limb and blow hard on that one. But the actual birthing mother, I don't know. They're doing a lot of breathing. There's a closed room. There's doctors, but doctors are in the masks. So I don't know.
I mean, there seems like a lot of advantages. I want to get to her. Let's not waste any more time. She's here. She's going to come in. Well, she's in California somewhere, but she's going to zoom in. Kaplan, but before that, I just want to say a couple of things. Lost in America podcast. We do this. We do 4 days a week, four extra shows a week. We do on Patreon. It's me. It's Kaplan. Go to patreon.com/lostinamerica to get us blowharding on everything out there. Yeah. And also every Friday night, I do a stand-up comedy show on Zoom with all of my favorite comedians. Go to turnersparks.com to get tickets for that. It's totally free. We do it on Fridays. And Kep, that's
and
it.
And our Patreon, what about, we got our Patreon show?
I talked about it, did I not? That's what I just said, the Patreon show, 5 days a
sorry.
Week. Are you listening to your own podcast, Kep?
We have a Patreon show. It's so important. I'm saying it twice. Five days a week.
I just said that whole
all
thing.
All right, delete that part. I don't know.
I'm not deleting it. I'm keeping it in, Kaplan. Esther Steinberg, you know her, you love her. Let's zoom her in.
Zoom her in.
All right, we're back with our guest, Esther Steinberg. What's up?
Hey.
Mazel tov.
Sorry, a 6-week baby crying all the time.
Okay, so 6 weeks ago you had a baby,
right?
Yes.
In the heart of the pandemic.
Yes. We really wanted a pandemic baby.
It's like the New Year's baby. It's the same thing. Same.
Yeah, so, I was like, I need something that so I don't kill myself.
So I think you did our podcast in, it was like February maybe, and it was when you were pregnant, but the coronavirus was something that was just, it was happening in China and it was never going to come
here. It was a joke.
Yeah.
I was like, Turner, you're the only one who's going to get it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in China.
No, I remember people asking me that in February. I was like, yeah, I used to live in China. And almost every show for about 6 weeks, some asshole in the audience was like, whoa, oh, don't give me the virus. And I'm like, I was like, the little we knew about it. We knew this much about it. We all thought we were safe. We're like, oh, this is swine flu. It's all things that happen in China that never come here. And then boom, like 3 weeks later, it hit us. And then I was like, oh no, Esther's still pregnant.
And can I return this? You know, I could have terminated. I had the choice. It's New York City. I could have terminated.
It's a progressive world we live in. Right.
That is a great reason. There's a pandemic. I was going to have a baby, but no, I can't bring it into this world. No.
Yeah, they would have understood.
So did you have the baby in New York City?
I did. When New York was the hot spot, because now New York is like the best. Unless you're between 20 to 29.
I'm back. But I got back 3 days ago. It's like Cancun over here. It's spring break. Everybody's hanging out.
It's time to go to Fire Island.
It's Club Med.
Get your dick sucked. it's like every other place. You don't have to have abs, but you still need to like work out and look hot in New York.
Yeah. So what was your first, when it first dawned on you that, whoa, this is hitting New York City and there's no putting the baby back. Like, what was your first thought?
I was happy because everyone was stuck at home. So everyone was in their third trimester of pregnancy.
That's good. You're right. Cause you were going to lose out on be going out and stuff. And now you're like, nope, no one go out.
I was going to miss out on every show. I was going to be home and be like, motherfuckers get to perform. Must be nice not to be pregnant with a baby. And now I was like, oh, you can't leave the house.
Yeah. No, I didn't think of that. Cause after we had our baby, I never would, you can't go out to like meet people for drinks. You can't
do
anything.
You can go out, but then your baby will die.
Yeah, exactly.
Esther had
a
spite.
It's not like a dog. You can't leave it at home. It's one of the things they teach you.
Esther had a spite baby.
A spite baby. Yeah.
Well, I was like pleased with the fact that every single person in the world can't leave their house.
Yeah. It's like best time. You're really right. This is the best time to have a baby.
Genius. But what about like hospital? Like where?
So we went to New York Presbyterian, which kept giving. What did he blow up? No. I think my son had the biggest poop of his life. And I just want everyone to
congratulations.
Thank you.
For our listeners on YouTube, reviewers.
Just FYI.
Check it out.
Very important news.
No problem.
What was funny was we were at New York Presbyterian, which is an amazing hospital, and they kept announcing like the status with coronavirus, quote, New York Presbyterian. It kept on being like all the coronavirus stuff kept on coming from the hospital that I was gonna have a baby at, and they were like, you'll for sure need to get coronavirus tested, and I was like, okay. And then they started to not let my husband into any of my appointments. And then they were trying to do appointments over Zoom. And I'm like, how are we doing pregnancy appointments?
That seems a little important.
Here, take my pulse.
sonogram through the screen. Like,
I was like, all right, I guess we're going to do this. And then they announced in New York City that no partners were allowed in the room. And I freaked out because I was like, if my husband isn't with me while I'm giving birth, who's going to take the pictures, you know?
Who's going to take that? Yeah. It's like very old. We're back to the 1950s. Like my grandfather sat in the car when my mom was born, listening to like a Yankees game. Like that's how it used to be. So
I hate to say it, but it's this like part of me thought it was really sad. Like I really wanted my husband there. But the other part was that men are that obsolete. Like, they really aren't important. Are they? Like, so the men just can't be there, but you'll still have a baby. And I'm like, you're right. I can do this on my own. Yeah.
What about like class? Like, did they do Lamaze class? Do people do that? Or is that like an 80s?
I did Oh, they do Lamaze.
Yeah,
oh,
they do childbirth classes still.
I took a child's birth class over Zoom.
Oh my gosh.
It was 10 couples. And so it went, this is a little evil, but me and my husband were watching it and it was a lot of great information. And the teacher was actually really great. She did her very best and we were listening and we were taking notes.
Yeah. Oh, shout out.
Was she prepared for the corona though? Did she have a,
she just did her class as normal and would ask us to engage and we would like type in stuff. And like sometimes she would, I think the whole thing when you're doing Zoom, it's like, and you want to engage with the audience and make, you know, whatever. So she was doing all that. She was awesome. But what was so funny was that all the other couples had windows that you could see and their name on it. So it'd be like Esther and Noah and then like Andrew and Michaela. And so we started talking shit. We would put it on mute and it was just like, look at Andrew and Michaela, they're fucking not ready for their kid. And it was just nonstop shit talking. And it was a blast. There was one girl that she looked so miserable and her husband looked excited. And her only question was about how much alcohol she could.
I was going to say that because I was telling Turner, we did a lot of these stuff. And like one of the joys of it is like all the people you meet in these classes, you realize are like going to be bigger disasters than you and like making fun of them and all. You come out of those meetings feeling more confident. So I didn't know if that would translate to Zoom, but I'm glad it does.
That's why I tell people, I go take a comedy class, go to an open mic. You will see that you're not the worst one. That's got to be something.
Yeah, there are literal crazy people.
Yeah, who are having babies.
Standing on stage. You're like, oh, I'm not nuts. I didn't escape from a mental institution. I'll be fine at comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, but the best part is just like, oh, they hate each other. Oh, that was not a planned pregnancy. Oh,
so you can tell which relationships aren't going to last?
Oh, yeah. There was one couple that was like, oh, are you guys all in Brooklyn? Were you? And then one couple was like, so... I have some health issues, so we actually moved to Massachusetts, and they just looked like they had health issues, and they were pregnant, and they just looked like they looked like weak links.
Are you doing a reunion with your class afterwards? Because we did that with our class. We met at a bar. It was like
did you?
Some bar in Brooklyn that's one of those breastfeeding bars where every mom whips it out and everyone goes nuts. And real hipster parent.
Spritzenhaus
in Greenpoint. It's like, but now it's like, I don't know if that exists now in Corona. People might be like, I don't know if that's allowed. That's
breastfeeding in public?
I don't know. Everyone's so germaphobic.
Can you catch Corona with your nipple?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Don't cough on my nipple.
So yeah, you guys have a Zoom meetup or meet everyone in person or?
No. I'm really not interested in meeting up with them. They were all so boring.
I think the rules are if you knew someone in person previously, then having a Zoom reunion is okay. But if you only know them from Zoom.
Yeah, there's no reunion.
And then reuniting on Zoom. It's like, what are we doing here?
People are going on dates on Zoom and then like IRL going out. So it's like everyone's starting their relationships on the computer.
I guess, yeah. And then you have to break up on Zoom. I don't really know how that works. I mean, I'm like three.
You say we're having a bad connection.
Oh, there it is. That's how it works.
It's the old phone move that we used to do. Yeah, sorry, I'm going through a tunnel for the next few years. So then in the hospital,
they finally announce that the husbands could come, or you can pick one birthing partner. Everything is like,
and you picked your husband.
I did choose him because I was quarantining with him. They did the coronavirus on me test, and then they took his temperature. They didn't do the test on him at all. And everything was like, I don't know. Once I got in the hospital, I mean, there were bigger fish to fry than coronavirus.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Like you think like, oh, it's got to be so scary. But then when you're in the middle of it, you're probably like, well, who gives a shit about coronavirus?
Come on, bring it on, coronavirus. I had a 9-pound, 8-ounce baby that wouldn't exit. He wouldn't leave.
Yeah. Really?
And the doctors, we waited an extra week. So I was 41, past 41 weeks. And the doctor's like, so we're going to induce. So I was like, great, let's induce. So they tried this. They tried that. They tried this. They pumped me with hormones. They pumped me with this. And they used all these weird tools. They used this like balloon thing to try to like pry open my cervix. Whoa. And my cervix was like a frosty little bitch. And she did not want to open. And so after 36 hours, I forget. Wow. They were like, so we're going to probably need to do a C-section. And I was like, great.
Yeah.
Did wait, you 36? Wait, stop. 36 hours you're in, yes, labor for?
Because
is that normal? I know nothing.
Fair. But... no. Okay. Usually when they induce, it takes about 24 hours. They pump you with hormones. You start having contractions and your body just gets ready to push. And then the pushing could be like 1 hour to a couple hours. I didn't even get to the part where I pushed. They pumped with these hormones. I had contractions. And contractions are basically just like telling the baby to get out. It's like, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out.
What are those drugs called? They're like, that make the contractions.
Pitocin.
Crazy. Pitocin, yes.
It's like fake oxytocin. So it's whatever. Like so I'm having contractions. They're measuring it and all that. But what the contraction's not doing is the baby's not getting the message. So the baby is just like, okay, yeah, contractions, okay. And like, it never moved down. It's supposed to move down. And then they broke my water for me.
Oh,
and the baby still wouldn't go down. And finally they're like, we got to cut him out. And I was like, fine with me at this point. Like, I went in there and I said to myself, I was like, I want a natural birth.
That's what I was telling Turner. People, the first birth everyone wants a natural birth. They don't want to have the C-section.
I don't want a C-section. Yeah. And I was like, they cannot, because sometimes you hear horror stories of people just getting forced into it. But I definitely feel like I gave it the 38 hours, gave it a shot.
Did you, you didn't have a doula or anything like that? That you couldn't take with you?
I didn't have a doula, and B, I didn't have a doula because of coronavirus.
Right. That's what I was saying. Cause we had a doula. And I think if my wife had a choice of one person, she probably would pick a doula and I'd be out.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. But
like someone you pay to massage your feet. Yeah,
exactly.
So are the nurses, is everyone getting, cause I also New York Presbyterian, that's the hospital I called on March 10th when I found we were exposed. We didn't end up getting coronavirus,
typical.
But on like March 6th, we had typical not getting coronavirus. What's typical? So on March 6th, we had lunch with some people. They tested positive. So then you can call this number and they'll tell you if you have it or not. So, or if you, what to do next, but it was New York Presbyterian and the lady on the other line, she's like, do not trust the news. The news is telling you there's 50 new cases a day. We are getting thousands of calls a day from people who definitely have it, but we have no way of testing them. And so I think she's like, people are getting shoveled into our hospital. Was there a different wing for you than for Corona people, or what did they do?
For sure. Like the one thing that did make me feel special is like, if you're trying to get an elective surgery, like goodbye, you're not getting it. It's Corona. It's the height. If you're trying to get anything done, like you're not going to do it. You're not going to get anything done because the hospital was like on one duty and that was Corona. And I just felt like they put pregnant ladies on a pedestal. It was the one thing that it's like, we don't have an option. We need to deliver a baby.
Yeah,
so it was at the children's hospitals. It was at the children's hospital and it was on the 10th floor and it's this whole wing, that you're supposed to get a tour of, which I didn't because it was fucking coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it was just like I probably met and interacted with 50 or 60 different nurses and doctors, like that many people. So I was there for like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Really?
Because you had the C-section. If you have a C-section, it's a major surgery. You can't just, they can't just get you out in 24 hours if you've had it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But you got a real perk though, is you must've got your own room because of coronavirus, right?
I got my own room, except for there was like one night I was right after my surgery, they made my husband leave and they put me in a room with another woman.
Whoa.
And I was going to be like, excuse me, I want my own room, but I didn't. And I just laid there and her husband was in the room and he was talking really, really loud. And I was like on drugs. I literally had a baby 2 hours ago. I'm in this room and there's a curtain And in my like weakest voice, I was like, can you please stop talking? I haven't slept in 40 hours. And through the curtain, because there was part of me that I was like, there was part of me that was like, shut the fuck up. Okay. They said that the husbands aren't allowed in. Like, that's who I would be.
Yeah.
But because I had surgery, I was the You're only thing up. That came out was, hey, you mean so lucky? Like,
that guy's just a funny. You. That guy's so lucky.
Yeah.
Actually, I would prefer someone being like, shut the fuck up, than like, please, you have no idea what I've been through. Like, that hurts way more. And by the way, gets it done much faster and much better.
But so what's the protocol? Like, are they getting tested for coronavirus?
I guess everyone's getting tested. I mean, I always say with corona, there's always a risk.
Yeah.
Anytime you leave your house, there's
a
risk.
Like this jack, but you didn't have a choice is my point. Like this jackass.
He must have been tested. Oh, wait, because your husband wasn't tested. So then maybe
they
he
took
wasn't.
His, they tested the pregnant women and then took the temperature of the husbands. I'm like, that should be the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's.
Shove a Q-tip up the husband's nose.
Oh yeah, what's the test like? I haven't even had one yet.
Some of them I've heard
worse, better, Q-tip. Easier, or worse than pregnancy and giving birth.
A lot easier. So, and by the way, anyone complaining? Because here's what I'll say: some people are getting it done and they put it up and they take it out. Fuck them. For me, it was two nurses. I mean, this is like they hardcore hospital test, not Walgreens. They shove a huge Q-tip swab, and I just flared my nostrils, and it felt so uncomfortable. And then they circled it 10 times. It was a total of like probably a minute and a half.
And it goes like way, way, way back up your nose, right?
Yeah. And you know what? I lived and it wasn't that bad. But now people are like, yeah, they put it in my nose. I'm like, for how long? They're like 2 seconds, but it hurt. And I'm like, fuck off. They swirled it around and counted to 10, like slow.
Kaplan's kids are at summer camp and they get a camp counselor.
I'm a Jew. I can't not send them to camp. So.
They get like a 19-year-old camp counselor to look at the back of their throat every day. Not a doctor. Yeah.
She looks at their throat at check-in. They do the temperature check, and then she looks in the throat. I don't know what she's looking for. I don't know if she knows what coronavirus looks like. But answer a Google questionnaire every day that basically swears that you don't have coronavirus and haven't met anybody who has.
That's the current level of testing they're doing.
Are they going to day camp?
It's like one's at a gymnastics camp and one's at a soccer camp or a day camp. So
in person.
But, good for you.
But they're mostly, out of the house. I got out of house. I mean, my daughter's in the other room right now watching TV. So but when they're in camp, it's great. It's like return to normalcy for a second. They need some.
That's so nice. I mean, whatever. What are you going to do?
Exactly. That's good. You're already mellowed. You're not like a crazy parent who's like, I can't. Because some parents are like actively angry at the idea of even considering sending their kids to school.
Kaplan's getting shamed by the community.
Yeah, because somebody's like, my kids aren't guinea pigs. I can't believe you would let your kids be guinea pigs. That's what somebody said. Another parent. And I was like, well.
New York City is doing great. If we were up in the numbers, if it was March or April and there was 18,000 new cases, I'd be like, that's irresponsible. But right now we're in July and there was 400 new cases in a city of 8 million people.
Yeah.
So that's great.
But you, when you were there, it was like the peak. So were they, I mean, what was the mask situation like in the hospital? Did you have to wear one while you're giving birth or anything?
I didn't have to wear one because once I was in, it felt like I was in, like I was going to say the word sanctuary. It was a hell. But once you're inside the gates of the doors of the maternity thing, it felt like everyone kind of, you were pregnant and masks were off.
And then when can your husband see the baby? At what point?
He saw him immediately. He was there in the
surgery. You said he was allowed to.
When you have the C-section, I've been through this. You're like, the man is on one side of a curtain. It's like the weirdest. He's basically there while your wife's being operated on. It's like, it's pretty gruesome, but yeah, it's interesting.
It's gruesome. And there's some people who go south of the equator.
Oh, really? On the other side of the curtain?
On the other side of the curtain.
For anyone listening this on audio, she did quotes, finger quotes as she said that.
I had the camera on the other side.
Is on the other side of the sheet, and it's not fun to watch your wife's organs get like,
yeah,
placed it's pretty somewhere. Then they pull the baby out and they like put the organs back or whatever is happening. I didn't want to see it, and I didn't want my husband to see it. Yeah. Also, I couldn't really feel much, but I could feel like tugging. It kind of felt like someone was putting pants on me and unzipping me. Like that's the amount I could feel. I was on so many drugs, which were fantastic. And what was happening here, like head up, was my husband was hanging out with me. He was sitting next to me like,
what's up?
Hey. And then the anesthesiologist, however you say that word, I'm a
I think
mom,
you got it right.
He was wearing like a Chiefs hat, like a Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, you cancel that guy.
Problematic.
Problematic.
Redskins t-shirt.
Dox him now.
I don't care about sports, but I was getting operated on, and he and my husband were sitting one here and one there.
Andy Reid's and operating on.
He started to talk about the Broncos. Broncos, and he's talking about.
Oh my God! It must be.
You know, I went.
Now we're like fully in some kind of sports conversation.
Amazing.
While I'm having a C-section,
you're like, "This is my moment. I'm wondering, like,
I should have been there."
At first, yeah, you'd have been like, "Also, this other team."
I went to one of the greatest Broncos Chiefs games of all time. I saw Elway play Montana at Mile High Stadium.
Oh my God! You have to have a baby.
You are invited to my next C-section. No,
when your wife has a baby, you got to go to this hospital now. You got a bit ready.
Bring me the Chiefs guy. I want the Chiefs guy in my room.
Yeah. Also, it's telling when the doctors can wear scrubs and they have to wear a head wrap, and it feels like the anesthesiologists like to do a little sports flair on their head. Yeah. I was like, that's an option, I guess, if you want to be like, yeah, okay, so I work in maternity, but like, I'm a man's man.
I'm a man, yeah, I'm a sports guy.
Oh, it was a Monday night game, too. I just
Friday. Oh, yours is a Monday night. Yeah. I was like, I had my baby on Friday. It was a Friday night game.
National TV.
So you did? Yeah.
So they're talking about football. And at first I was like, I'm going to fucking kill both of you. like, come here, fuck you. You're both going to need drugs when I'm done with you. But all of a sudden I started listening and he's like, well, I'm from Denver. And he's like, oh really? Like blah, blah, blah. My house in Denver. And I swear to God, listening to their stupid conversation about sports saved me from thinking about getting operated on and whatever. Safe. And I actually now appreciate that bullshit small talk. Cause if they were like, all right, scalpel, okay, put her heart over here. So we're gonna, can you grab the kidney real quick? Like I would have literally.
The thing is for guys, there's like small talk comes in. It's like either you have like two options. It's like sports. Or I guess politics, but that's for like real lamos.
So it's talking about women, but you can't do that during a birth.
True, so. Sports are women.
Talk. What? How did guy small talk? Did you see the tits on that girl? I'm right here. I'm still awake.
How about that nurse?
They teach you that as a guy growing up. You can't talk about women when you're having babies. So that's sports is the default. Better than politics. So.
I was like, can you guys wait until, you know, I'm only numb from the neck down.
Amazing. But
yeah, that's why we need sports to come back, because women are still having babies and we need things to talk about in the ER, in the operating
sports
room.
Sports needs to come back so that relationships can revive, because right now everyone wants to kill each other.
There's only so much talking to each other you can do. You
exactly.
Know?
We're at that.
And then at some point. So what about now?
We're all in relationships. Yeah, we're all already done.
And all of our spouses are like in the other room right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. My husband's like burping my child and I'm just like,
Now can family see you or what? How does it feel?
So my mother was living in Florida before Florida became the epicenter.
Oh, good. She got out.
And she, since March, like when coronavirus started, she did not leave her house. Literally did not leave her house and put like heavy restrictions on my dad to like not leave the house.
Oh yeah, they're in Tampa, right? Where there's
Oh, hell yeah. They're in Tampa.
Where people are like protesting about masks and
They're in Tampa where my mom yelled at someone for not social distancing in the Sprouts, which is like a shittier Whole Foods. And then the woman was like, whatever. And then my mom was like, yeah, I bet you like that president who's not wearing a mask.
Oh boy.
No. Or my mom said something about how like everyone needs to wear a mask. And then the woman was like, I bet you don't even respect our president. And my mom was like, I don't.
You bet right.
And then she goes, why don't you go back to the to your country?
Oh, Jesus.
And my mom was like, this is my country.
Yeah, it's South Florida. Where else should she be?
She's from Israel, but she was just
that's
like,
what I mean. It's like
and then my mom was like, Tampa's I was gonna fight with her, but I walked away and I was like, good for you, walk away. And she and then I was like, I mean, at this point, the statistics prove that she has probably already died from coronavirus.
So your mom won that one.
I mean, that's the funny thing is like, wear a mask. I don't want to wear a mask. Okay, fine, die.
Well, and any of the people who are super vocal about it.
Your choice. Yeah,
the super vocal people usually die too. Like anyone who's bragging online that they're not wearing a mask has like 2 weeks to live.
I don't want to wear a mask, I stay home.
Yeah.
There you go. Can family see the baby or no?
Oh yeah. So my mom drove from, we didn't want her to fly. So she quarantined for 3 months and then drove like 23 hours from Florida to New York City with my dad. And they stayed with us for 2 weeks. And my dad stayed at a friend's house that had left New York, but my mom stayed with us because we have a twin bed that my mom could stay in. And it was cute. Wow. And she was so helpful and so wonderful. And like, it was awesome. And what it wasn't about, awesome, but it was awesome to have her there.
Yeah.
And what's it like going to the doctor now? Is it like, do you go like, is the pediatrician's office like weird?
It's actually better than ever before. Cause you know, you used to wait in the office for doctors. And now the pediatrician's like, if your appointment's at 9, you need to be here at 9, not 9:01 and not 8:59. And so the doctor sees you. And so there is no downtime. And I actually prefer that. Like when I go to pick up my food now from like Sweetgreen, they're like, it's ready. I don't stand in a line. I'm like, has the world gotten better? A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it has. I mean, yeah, my dad is a doctor and he kept someone waiting for a while the other day and they got mad and left. I'm like, yeah, what are you doing? You can't keep people waiting right now. But
he also, has he figured out telemedicine yet?
No, he has not figured that out either. So
he's missing out on like millions of dollars.
Check my pulse.
Yeah, exactly. It's much easier. But yeah, the pediatrician by us, they have like a toy area that kids come in and they wait and they got rid of that, which is great. Like that's the biggest germ center in the, you know, in the world.
And so, why not have gotten rid of it 10 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. So they're just
germs. You go in, you're out. Yeah. I feel like everyone should wear a mask no matter what. And let me ask you something because you're Chinese.
Turner, that is.
Bring it on.
Turner. I feel like masks were being worn by people who were Asian a lot before coronavirus. And now everyone has to wear a mask. But why were there people wearing masks before? And I think it's smart. And I think we should do it for the rest of society.
Okay, here's why. Because in the last 15 years, this is their third pandemic.
Yeah.
So by our next pandemic, people will mask up a lot quicker. You know? So in 2002, 2003, they had SARS. And that's where everybody's like, oh, no, we should probably wear a mask. Everyone wore a mask. And then they had the swine flu after that in like 2010. So now they're like old hat at this. So the second it kicks up, the pandemic kicks up.
Wear it on planes, though, before. Well,
so what people learned, what became part of society is that if you are sick, you wear a mask. So to not get other people around you sick. It's a polite move, you know? So after the first pandemic, I want to say, that kind of just became part of the thing. And so people now, like if you're on the subway and you see some Chinese lady in a mask, it means she's sick and she doesn't want to get the rest of the subway sick.
Right. We used to think she was crazy.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great. I used to think they were nuts too.
But now I'm going to have a mask on me at all times, even when we go back to normal, so that if I get a little cold or whatever, well,
kids
anything, just
get
put it on.
Sick, all, like even without Corona, kids get each other sick so much.
Yeah, I mean, right? Yeah, it's something that I hope stays. Like, you know, we taking our shoes off inside, that came from Asia.
You invented everything.
Me. Give me credit for all of it. And I think this mask when you're sick thing.
The Rachel Dolezal of Asia.
Doing yellow face. And I think that'll stay, though. I think people wearing a mask.
You are the Chinese spokesperson.
I mean, you're...
Yeah. My people.
Would you accept a job as a character on a cartoon that spoke Chinese and was Chinese?
Yeah, I would. And I would do it voice, yeah. As long as but after I made my fifth million, like $5 million, then I would apologize and I would say I'm never going to do it again. But I wouldn't give back any of the money. I would just apologize. Because that's what you, I think that's the
You
standard.
Already have your apology written before you even take the job.
Exactly. So what's your advice to people giving birth during this pandemic or any future pandemic?
Or any future.
Because they're coming around.
They're coming. People are going to plan their pregnancies around pandemics.
There's certainly enough to worry about. So just I would say follow the instructions of your doctor, follow the instructions of the hospital, and just relax as much as you can, because they're going to tell you what to do. You follow what to do. Also, don't leave your fucking house. Here's my advice. Peaky Blinders, Upload, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I mean, it's just a list and list of television shows. Don't fucking leave your house. Watch every single television show. Order Magnolia Pudding. I had to take my maternity photos in front of a green screen, and it was so hard. My husband does not know my angles. And
What's a maternity photo?
You got I've never heard of this.
People take a picture of themselves looking.
See, my wife didn't want to do that. She was like, I don't want to.
Is
pictures.
This the one where you might have a sports bra on, but no
shirt?
Yeah,
I look like Beyonce.
And the belly's out, this type of photo. Is that a common thing?
It was a parody of Beyonce.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Oh, so he took that?
I think it is.
He took it in front of my green screen. And by the way, I think I did it he had to turn around the camera so I could see it. And so I was like, okay, now press it. He couldn't. I watched myself. But yeah, everything about it was I just stayed the fuck home. And when we wanted to walk around and exercise before the baby, we did it at midnight. We would walk around the neighborhood at midnight because there were no people at midnight. So that was the safest time for me to walk around. And it's the same thing. You don't want to walk around with a mask on, then walk around at 4 a.m. No one's there. For me, it was always about social distancing, wearing a mask. If someone was near us, we would literally cross over to the other side of the street. We acted like we had leprosy.
That's problematic.
And they had leprosy.
Depending upon the race.
These were white people.
I was waiting for that.
As soon as a white person came, I would look back, freaked out.
You have to cross for both equally, and no matter everybody. So you're saying.
But the dogs are fine.
Yeah, but and then medications. Do they ever? Is there anything they give you when you go in that's different, or is it all? It's all pretty much the same once you're there. The Pitocin is the one that gets you going, right? What's the painkiller they give you that makes it not? Epidural, that's the one. Did you take that immediately or did you wait?
I asked for it in the lobby.
Yeah, because my wife originally was doing the natural birth thing.
Turner's really?
No, you got it. Because that's the thing. In the beginning, I want to do the natural birth and you're doing the Pitocin. You're you look like you're dying from my perspective. And then you get the epidural. I left the room, got some Anita, came back. It looks like my wife's just waiting for a plane. She's just reading a magazine. All of a sudden she's chill.
It was really chill.
Yeah.
Oh, but then once you get the epidural, they put a catheter on you, so you have to go pee pee in a bag, I loved.
Yeah, that's a perk. What's wrong with that? No shame.
Yeah, everything.
I do it every day now.
What about changing topics? What about the comedy? Didn't you just film a comedy special?
So yes, I wanted to do. I was supposed to do a pregnancy album. Which then turned into a pregnancy special. And I was so excited. And I didn't know much details other than they took my album and was like, we're not going to do an album. We're going to do a special. And I was so excited. And then I got an email that said they're going to postpone it because of coronavirus. And I said, okay, well, that's not going to happen ever. And that's fine. And I was like, great. Me and a million other people got things canceled. Like, I didn't even feel that sorry for myself, but I was like, it's not happening. And then I get an email in late June that they're going to shoot it in July. And I was like, no, you're not. Like, my brain could not compute how they were going to do it. And I was basically in denial until we got there. I got there and it was a drive-through.
Was this the Rose Bowl? Wait, a drive-through. You mean like a drive-in, movie theater?
Drive-in movie.
So you went to California though?
I flew to California with an N95 mask and I...
After you had the baby?
After I had my baby.
I'm just putting this together. You're in New York. Yeah.
I have my baby 6 weeks later. I'm on a flight to California. I get off the plane, go to the hotel. The next day I go from the hotel to the Rose Bowl where they...
Yeah. They have 100,000 seats.
I hit the stage and it was a bunch. It was 200 cars and there was 20 cameras and a drone and it was like crazy production and they were filming it as a special and it was an hour.
And that was with Tribeca actually.
Wait, I got a bunch of questions. Was this an hour? So this is an hour you had done that you were about to do record in some way before the pandemic.
45 minutes of it was stuff that I had written and was ready to do for my album / then it turned into a special. 15 cool. minutes of it was brand new.
Whoa. Like, and you hadn't done it anywhere. You hadn't done it on
I
stage.
I did 5 Zoom shows leading up to my special.
Whoa. Okay, I have a question. Does Zoom, did it translate? Like, did the jokes hit the same on Zoom as they do in a live audience? Because I have, like, I'm going through the same thing at some point.
Zoom is about 25% of a show. It's like, it's a quarter. It's better than nothing.
Okay.
It's like a full comedy show is 100%. You tell a joke, you get the laughs. You tell a joke, you get the laughs. Yeah. Zoom somehow takes that experience and just gives you 1/4 of it. Somehow, some way, it just reduces it. The laughs, the telling, you're telling jokes to a computer, it feels a little weird, like 1/4 of how it should feel. They're receiving the jokes and it just, again, feels like a quarter. And then you receive the feedback and that also is like, meh.
But did it see like if the jokes worked on Zoom, would they work on stage or is it?
Absolutely, because Zoom is an uphill battle. Zoom is like working out with weights.
Oh, this is great. Because I was worried it was going to be the opposite. I've been doing Zoom shows for like the last 3 months, but nothing.
If you
live,
can make someone laugh on Zoom.
All right, here we go.
You can really, really kill it when there's people.
There's real humans.
And not even to mention like people around people.
Yeah.
People around people, that's infectious. You telling jokes to one person is not very funny. You telling jokes to a room full of people, very funny. It's like, yeah, it was just as good as the birthing class.
So now you're on stage filming and everyone's in their car. And how do you hear, like, what are the laughs? Or how does that part work?
The people, I have to give credit to, I was not involved in this. This was all Comedy Dynamics. The company was incredible. They put microphones. They came up with this all on their own. They put microphones in cars, selective cars, cars with more than 2 people in it. They said that they were trying to pick cars with a lot of people in it. And so they put microphones in it. Some of the audio was stored for the special and some audio was actually projected onto the stage so that I could hear people laughing in their
car. That's great. That's awesome.
It was a little weird, you know, getting like feedback from cars that were mic'd up, especially since one of the cars was very clearly my friend Lindsay, who's like my photographer and my friend, and I could hear her laughing and she even said something. It's like, she like was like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like on stage hearing what someone's talking about in their car.
So do you have a headpiece in so you can hear that?
No, they were literally playing it.
Ah.
My audio is my microphone, which apparently didn't conflict with the audio that they were literally playing feedback from other people.
Holy
and
cow.
Then they were capturing even more audio that I was hearing from and the cards.
Did you do one show or two shows? One show.
Wow.
I mean, it's awesome though. It's like an unique experience. It's a hell of a lot better.
Four or five Zoom shows. By the way, one of the Zoom shows were with two audience members, and I picked them. I was like, my husband has two sisters. They're both good laughers. They're both kind of my target demographic. They've heard some of the jokes, but a lot of them were brand new. So it was just me. It would be like how we're Zooming right now.
Oh my God.
And it was supposed to be, it was connected to Tribeca, correct? Were you originally supposed to do the film festival, the comedy stuff going on?
Literally don't know anything about what was happening other than I know that Tribeca is like this insanely prestigious film festival. And then all of a sudden.
Kaplan exactly. runs it. It's not that prestigious. Yeah.
No, I worked there. So we were talking about, we were going to do like literally.
It is.
Yeah.
Not because of me. I'm not doing the prestigious
once
part.
Once you left, it got really good.
Yeah. I wasn't involved in this part. I've been furloughed. So that's why they're doing good.
That's why they didn't ask us to do anything.
Literally in March, I talked to the comedy people about us hosting like a live podcast during the film festival with guests that they were going to have on doing comedy stuff. And who knows, maybe that would have been you. And then like a day later, they said yes. And then a day later, they canceled the film festival because of coronavirus. So it was supposed to be,
I think the comedy was always supposed to be kind of tangential with Tribeca.
They were supposed to have a whole thing.
But I have to give credit to the Comedy Dynamics people. They set it up really, really, really well. These are the like badges.
Oh,
look at that. There you go.
Tribeca's logo. There it is.
So I invited some people to come and I didn't see them. They're like, you were so great. All I saw was a blur of cars with their headlights on.
Like a parking lot.
I was in front of a parking lot. I told my mom, I was like, to prepare for the show, I practiced in parking lots around New York City. Like,
do you doing riffs on people's cars? Like, what do you?
I started my show with a little riff of like, who knew all my fan base was mostly Kias. So
very big. With the
I did like one or two car jokes, but I was like, here we are, and I've been wanting this opportunity for a while, and so I'm going to take it. So there was one joke that I had written hours before the taping that I did on my special.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it was about my flight from JFK to LAX. There was no food at JFK and I was starving. Not a single shop was open. And we get to Delta and they were not serving food. And I am postpartum 6 weeks and I am very hungry and I'm irritable. And my boobs were like hurting because you're supposed to pump and I'm hungry and my boobs are hurting and I'm sitting on this plane and it's a 5-hour flight and I was getting so hungry and I was pumping and I was literally looking around and they didn't even have menus to order food. They didn't have any food on the plane and I was pumping my own milk and I just decided that there was only one way out of it.
No. Oh, cannibalism.
So I legit had to drink my own milk.
No.
Wow. Really? How did it taste?
I hadn't eaten in 6 hours.
I mean, I'm surprised you're not dairy free in Brooklyn, you know, or New York City.
I am usually dairy free, but while I was pregnant, I was like,
breast milk's very trendy. Though,
I mean, so fucking cheese.
Yeah.
I'm vegan, but if you're pregnant, you need the cheese is more important than prenatal.
Oh my God. I did. I've had breast milk too. I was told, because she used to pump so much and she'd be like, did it go bad yet? Can you take a sip? It's like, I don't know what it's supposed to taste like, but. Yeah, good for you to be efficient.
But then there were people, like there were a couple guys that could like see me and I could tell that there was someone who witnessed me pump and drink my own milk.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And you they must sip? Have thought that was the craziest, grossest, like nasty bitch of all time. And I was like, and I was like, so intimidating. Like it had to have been the most intimidating moment of their lives. And by the way, as soon as I finished like 2 or 3 ounces of my own milk, they came by with almonds and Cheez-Its.
Whoa. I love as this guy's looking at Esther as she's drinking her own milk and she's like, what are you
thinking
like,
of? The guy's thinking of offering back. You a. He's like, here's $5 for a bottle. He's debating it. He's hungry himself.
Esther's like, I'm flying yeah. to LA to be a star.
I was like, I have to film my special. I have a breast milk mustache and I just look like an animal.
But Esther. The baby stayed, your baby stayed in New York though? You didn't.
Yeah, the baby stayed in New York. Wow.
That's I think, all right, Esther, that's all we have time for. We got to go.
That's a whole thing.
Thank you so much, Esther.
I am selling my breast milk, so DM me on IG if you want to buy it.
For Patreon levels, for anybody who pays $10 a month, we will give you one bottle of Esther's breast milk.
Extra level. All right, that's extra our podcast. That's the interview. We got to get to the news, Kaplan. Esther, thank you for doing it. How can people find you? And when's the thing? When's the special coming up?
I have no idea what's happening with the special.
Yeah.
Not a clue. But I am on Instagram and I'm technically on Twitter, but Twitter is a cesspool of hate and we should all delete ours. So delete your Twitter and follow me on Instagram.
Esther K? Or Esther...
Esther.Steinberg
on Instagram. Kaplan, that's it. Thank you, Esther. Kaplan, let's get to the news.
Bye.
Let's get to the news.
Back, Kaplan, Esther Steinberg.
Yeah, was that her? We didn't say it earlier, but was that her fourth appearance or fifth appearance? I feel like we didn't honor that. She might be the all-time leader right now.
She might be the all-time leader.
Is it her or is it Heaton? Who's at number one? Weber?
Well, Heaton claims he's only been on like two or, I don't know, who hasn't been on 2 or 3 times? I'm not sure. Anyway, I think she's at least at 4.
Yeah, and she called in once. So I think she's the leader.
So she might be at 5. If you're right, counting the call-in, if we're counting call-ins.
I shame on me since I'm the Jew here, but I didn't even ask her about having a bris, but like I was thinking about it later. You know what a bris is?
Yes.
It's like the number one positive now that I think about it, about having a baby, especially a boy baby during this whole thing, if you're Jewish, is you don't have to, that's like the worst experience ever. If you're a parent, you have to like, she's out of the hospital 4 days later. She's got to host a party for like 100 people, and now she just got out of that. So great job by her having the baby.
I will say it's an odd tradition.
It's very odd. I wish it would be canceled. It's really the patriarchy at its worst.
I mean, I get the functionality of it, but having a whole song and dance to go along with it. I mean, can't you do it in private? The Gentiles.
I mean, you literally like private. We had like a birth story just almost as long as Esther's, where we were in the hospital for days and came out, and it's like you're all like you're adjusting to having a baby, and then all of a sudden I'm like trying to come up with how much bagels and lox do I need to order for this many guests. It's all, and all of a sudden you're entertaining people and you gotta put yourself together. It's very strange to watch your kid be chopped off.
But yeah, and why does everyone want to come around and watch?
Because in Judaism it's a great mitzvah or good deed. It's like an honor. It's like the easiest mitzvah you're ever gonna do, where like to be there and just remember like you're just, you get credit. It's really a participation mitzvah. You're getting credit for showing up as a Jew, so you want to be there.
Okay, but in certain, you know, in certain countries, in certain cultures, there's, you know, killing a virgin child is a mitzvah as well. But that, but that doesn't mean we all jump in and board and do it. You know,
we're slow to adapt to the times and something. So this
it could be one to die off. Right.
Or at least to move it back to 8 days. You know, you'd be like, well, if there's a pandemic, maybe you could do it in, 6 months down the road. But
such an odd.
And the moil, you get a guy, you don't even get a doctor.
Moil. It's such a like, weird word.
There's no way these moils, you want them. They're all guys, old guys who do a lot of shtick. There's no way you're getting a moil who's like wearing a mask and doing
wait,
properly.
What do you mean they do a lot of shtick?
The moils are like,
are they
doctors. Yeah, they're like Jews with beards and like, they're like old guys who like you think are, Yeah, they're there to do a good funny speech about what it's like to have
no
a baby.
Way.
And,
wait, they really
and they're
do?
Good at cutting off the foreskin without like hurting
gross.
Anybody.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Wait, so, but they do. So, they really do like almost like a performance, like a stand up.
I mean, I'm speaking like I'm like I know how whatever Moyle's like. All I know is that the Moyle we hired, I hired him because I was at another Bris like a year earlier before Teddy was born, and the guy was hilarious, and I was like, that's the guy I want for my Moyle. This he's got is, great. He's yeah, killing.
This is like how I get booked on corporate shows.
Yeah,
like and they then, see me at the club and they go, oh, you got to come do it for IBM. Come down, do it for our company. We got to have
yeah,
you.
But you know what? It's funnier when the shtick's with some other kid. But then with us, he made some joke about Teddy having a small penis. And all of a sudden you're like, I don't like this guy.
Oh,
he's out.
Come on.
It's a really
low blow from the Moyle. Also, that's an
real
easy
blue
joke.
Humor. Yeah, exactly.
It's baby. What do you expect?
I thought you were gonna say it's an easy joke because it's a Jew, but yeah. Anyway.
I don't even know that. Is that a thing? Is that you teach me? I feel like you do more harm.
I mean,
than
it's
good.
not a thing. It's not like a
I've never heard that.
Ulan Gold has that great joke when he gets up where he's always like Jews, he makes some joke about Jews having big penises and he's like, oh, you never heard that before? I'm trying to start that rumor. Like, it's never been known the other way around. So, you know, let's just say that.
Well,
but yeah. We're not known for our size. But
best
anyway.
Story of the week comes to us from the New York Post, Kaplan. Teens, yes. I like this. Teenagers, as we call them, are dressing up as mask wearing grandmas to score alcohol. Now, I like this.
Yeah. What do you like about it?
Well, I like that, you know, you don't want to, if you're going to try to get booze with a fake ID and a fake getup, you don't want to look 25. You want to look 85. Because yeah. No one's, you know, people might still card 25-year-olds. I was carded up until I was 35 for drink. And they say, you know, we card up to 30. We card, don't, oh. And
I still get carded sometimes. Yeah, and I go, not at liquor stores, but at bars.
And then they do that weird compliment. Oh, you're lucky. You got a young face. You must like it. But that's, if I'm at teens, you guys are on the right path. Be 85. Don't be 25. My friend in high school, Justin Kruger, shout out to him, listener to the pod. He got, when he got his first fake ID, do you know what name he got put on the fake ID? Strom Thurmond.
Oh, wow. Is that not even the right state? Isn't Strom in South Carolina?
Well, yeah, but it was an Oregon ID. They don't do fakes of California.
And you're assuming most bouncers don't get the political reference, so they don't.
Well, he was the oldest man in the Senate. You see, Justin Kruger said, I want to be the oldest guy out there. I hate to say,
Strom Thurmond was also a racist. So, you know, he was.
Wow, this was before cancel culture.
So I'm going to cancel Justin Kruger by, you know, transparency that he had that ID.
Listen, racists need fake IDs, too.
They need a drink, too. Yeah. So, well,
they
that's
especially
you know,
need
you,
a drink.
You need to raise a point, though, that's the thing. You go for it. Like when you're going to tell a lie, if you want to do it with craft, some artmanship, you know, craftsmanship to it. You got to go for a big lie. Like anybody can get away with a little lie. So if you're pretending to be 22, what's the fun in that? But if you're pretending to be an old grandma, now all of a sudden you're like a stage actor. Like
go,
these people are getting out.
Lie. Yeah.
They're getting out walkers. They've got these bifocal, these old person glasses. I'm looking at these photos here. They're getting into character.
But
like, I got to give.
I'm not looking at the picture, but I imagine, do they just look like when the one kid plays the grandma in the high school play? And he's still clearly a kid.
I mean, this one girl looks pretty old, and I don't know if maybe she's got some what the makeup thing is. She doesn't look like a grandma, but you know, if she's walking, it's all about the walk. Like she's got a walker with a tennis ball in it, so she really went all in at the bottom.
Yes.
I never know why walkers have a tennis ball in it, but she's going that far.
Oh,
so.
She does the walker. That's I love that. The attention to detail.
Yes, attention to detail. And the only thing I don't like about the story, because it's like to me, it's like if you're gonna do it. You have some fun with it. You get some alcohol. You go get drunk during a pandemic.
Yeah.
There's one detail I don't like about the story as I read it is that it's mainly they're doing it because it's a TikTok like dare. It's like a TikTok thing.
I hate this.
These, you know, it's like you have something fun. It's a great idea. Just do it and go get drunk and don't post the videos.
Meanwhile, Joe Schaefer,
are you making the
Joe Schaefer at TikTok's hacking their bank account right now.
That's the real prank. The last laugh is Joe Schaefer's on a spending spree. Him and his Chinese businessman suitors.
Him and the Chinese government.
They're all out somewhere right now. Yeah. On your dime because you just gave your credit card away. Yeah. But
good
yeah.
job, so Zoomers. Next story of the week, Kaplan. This comes to us from today.com. Now, I don't know what is that today. What a website. What a company.
I think it means a Today Show. I think we've
talked about that. You're right. Yeah, I always imagine there's just a business called Today.
Yeah, they when the internet was first invented, they just got Today before someone else got Tomorrow.
Airlines ban alcohol. Have we done this one before? Airlines ban alcohol and cut back on regular beverage service due to COVID-19. Now, this is what Esther was talking about.
Yeah,
this
although
is why
Esther
she drank her own breast milk.
Yeah, I don't know. You can't really, you know, if she was drinking on the plane, it would have been. You can't give your baby getting breast milk that you're drinking under. That's the same as, you know, maybe. So it's okay. It would have been good for her to drink it then. It'd be a way to. But yeah, this is Captain, making it. It's hard now.
I hate this story all around. Every time, there's no bigger war profiteer than the United States airline industry. Anytime, you know, remember 9/11 happens. Oh, there's a shoe bomber. Okay, shoe bomber, fine. But then the airlines says, okay, now we're going to cancel. No more free food on the airplanes.
Right, and then no more liquids. You can't bring.
Going, how does that stop a terrorist? No more free food on the airplanes. Now you got to pay $8.99 if you want to terrorize us. You get some Cheez-Its and then you got bombs away, you know. But when you're not terrorizing us for free. I don't get it.
Exactly. But do you actually...
And they've done it again now. They've canceled alcohol. And I guarantee you that when alcohol comes back, either it's not food's not going to come back or it's not alcohol's not going to come back. Or when it does, it's going to be $100 because you might get coronavirus. So we got to charge you more.
I guess the theory is they're saying they want to have less interactions, but...
I don't buy the theory.
I mean, one of the only... If anything, it's like there's like six people on the plane. You're taking your life in your hands. If anything, you should be getting free drinks. They should be thanking you for flying. So,
easily.
I mean, because, you know, there's no flying abroad right now because we don't have our passports are pretty. Someone wrote a funny article today about like the American passport is like useless now.
They're good for nothing.
There's like nowhere in the world we can go. So, you know, that we should turn domestic flight. We should go the other way to make Americans feel better that we can't go to Europe. Make our domestic flights feel like international. Give us free booze on the plane, not just give us booze. Let everyone get wasted.
And I got an idea. Do a couple laps over the Great Salt Lake. How about that? Make us feel like we're flying over the ocean.
And you know where they would never, this would never fly, by the way, anywhere. There's no airlines in Europe. Can you imagine Ryanair? Was that the
Ryanair
one?
Ryanair is our, yeah, they're our hero.
Imagine if Ryanair tried to ban alcohol.
The airline of the pod.
There'd be a real uprising if an airline like that banned alcohol.
How are those guys supposed to bang on the airplane when they're sober?
Exactly.
They'd be throwing a fit.
Next thing have they banned banging on the airplanes now because of coronavirus?
I hope not. Not in Europe, at least.
First they came for the Coors Light. I didn't say anything. And then they came for the bang. It's real.
In their seat. And Ryanair, they don't even go to the bathroom. They do it right.
I'm not flying. I'm making an announcement right now. I'm not flying again until alcohol's back.
Oh, that's good. I'm not flying until I see there's people banging in 21J.
Until that's
last story. This is from TMZ, our good friends over at TMZ. OJ Simpson is seen in Las Vegas cut through a crowd, no mask.
Oh,
He's throwing a birthday party and it's a mask free birthday party. Now, people are outraged about that and they're shocked. Me, not shocked. Here's the thing. If you get away with murder, you think you're scared of coronavirus?
Yeah. They couldn't like really.
The state of California couldn't kill the guy. You think he's worried about a pandemic?
It'd be and maybe he's looking to rehabilitate himself because like if you get known for. If you're a famous person who dies from coronavirus, that's the thing you're going to be known for more than anything else you did in your whole life.
Yeah.
So he's like, this is going to erase the first ledger in the Wikipedia entry of O.J. Simpson for future generations.
As you've said many times, all these people dying who are famous, and then you always, if it's not corona, we skip through. We don't.
You're not just a story. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I don't know, you don't have the picture in front of you, but I saw the mask-free picture they showed of him. And he's like hitting on a blonde girl in the picture. It's like he's like right up close, whispering in a blonde woman's ear.
Still got his fastball.
I just like the consistency. Like he's never changed his type over the years. You know,
You like what you like.
You like what you like. You get set in your ways. And, you know, he didn't use masks those the old days. He's not going to wear masks now.
He's set in his ways.
We got to get him on the pod because he's really great on Twitter if you watch those videos of his. You know?
He is one of my favorites. Yeah. As someone once said, not me, some other comedian said that he's the most well-adjusted person on Twitter.
Yeah. He could be we need someone to give us a Vegas episode. We haven't done a Vegas, you know.
Oh, we just did a Vegas.
We did one
episode.
2 weeks ago. But besides that, we haven't done a Vegas episode.
I was thinking we've done Vegas. That's
well,
right.
Vegas suburbs we have not done.
We haven't done. Yeah, we've only done one Vegas episode. We need a counter rebuttal.
It is exciting that he never wore a mask from criminal days to Corona days. He's a mask.
Right.
Guy.
He should have worn a mask when he was. He might have helped when he's doing his crime. But when he was doing that one where he was on video stealing the Heisman Trophy, I don't think he's wearing a mask in that in Vegas. But you know what? The gloves, though. He was wearing gloves. Maybe he's less weight. I'm sure he's not wearing gloves now, right? That's like the.
I would imagine not. Although you never know. I mean, maybe he wants to relive his glory days. Put on a couple of isotoners.
Do you think that's one of his pickup lines? Like, if he was wearing the gloves during Corona, that could be a line to these blondes. He'd be like, ah, doesn't fit. And then.
I mean, I would imagine I would imagine he slips in if the glove don't fit. Yeah, when he's speaking with his ladies. Yeah, I would imagine that's how OJ does it. That's the podcast, Kaplan. What a wild show we had. We will be back next week. Of course, you can catch us tomorrow, the next day, and the other day. Four extra shows a week right there at Patreon.com.
On the Patreon show, we're going to talk about Turner's return and adjustment to Brooklyn, New York.
To Brooklyn, New York. Patreon.com/LostInAmerica. You can go to LostInAmericaPod.com to get the links to that. Also, we put all of our videos, Lost in America, on YouTube. You can watch the interview section of every one of these shows right there on YouTube. Cap, that's it. What should we do?
I think it's just about time for us to get lost.
Get lost!
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.